Hello, and welcome to this second half of the family tree. And on this half of the family tree, it's all about PAT, Public Access Television. And I'm just so happy to have you, the radio listening audience, tuned into this segment of the program. For those of you that are familiar with this segment of the program, you know we talk about public access television. We also bring in from time to time community people and organizations to share what positive things they're doing in the community. So we're going to continue that today. We would invite you to feel free to talk back with us during the course of this discussion that we will be having today. You may talk back to us online by logging in at www.wrbbradio.org, or you may call in at 617-373-2658. So you have two ways to talk back to us during the course of this conversation, and we invite you to feel free to do so. We have in the station with us today a guest. His name is Colin Ryan Smith. He is the president of the Action Coalition for Media Education, and we are very happy to have you here with us. And as you know, we want you to also be aware that the Boston Neighborhood Producers Group is still here advocating for public access television, informing and getting people involved. We have some events coming up that I will share with you before this program is over. But we want to get right into this discussion. This discussion we're talking about today has to do with some pending legislation before Congress. My last guest that I had here last month was Matthew Landry. And we're going to pick up this discussion because this is in regards to some very important legislation pending before Congress right now, known as the COPE bill. And I'm going to have our studio guests talk more about this and the dangers that this proposed bill presents, not only to Boston, but to the nation. So, Colin, again, thank you.
Thank you, Hiram. Thanks for having me.
All right. So, we were talking about this legislation last month with Matthew Landry, whom you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to just pick this up because this legislation is pending and it's going through quick, and it requires quick action on the part of people. Can you just, again, for the sake of those that may not be familiar with this whole situation, what is the COPE bill and what's so dangerous about this bill?
Sure.
What it stands for.
I probably should just say first that I'm president of ACME Boston. It's the Boston chapter of the Action Coalition for Media Education.
Okay.
And just to let folks know who we are and what we're doing, we are a Boston chapter of a national organization that focuses on media education and public interest advocacy around media issues, both in our communities and also in Washington, in Congress. And so that's really what the COPE bill that we'll be talking about, that's one of our main focuses, is to raise awareness about how bills in Congress are going to affect access to media and what the media is going to look like in the future, so we can talk about that.
Mm-hmm. And what does COPE stand for again?
I think it is, I believe, do we
okay,
have it here?
You,
it's the
Communications
Opportunity Promotion and Enhancement Act, which is sort of a misleading title given actually what this bill sort of threatens to do to access to media both in our communities and globally in terms of internet access. So, really what this is coming down to is the future of the internet. Are we going to be able to continue to access certain websites that we've been able to access now? And also, for those who don't have internet access, this is going to actually increase the digital divide. How? Well, basically what's going to happen is this bill will allow the largest telephone companies to cherry pick which communities it wants to serve. So, you know, basically they will be allowed to choose the wealthiest communities in, you know, the Boston area to profit from the most, where, you know, you're going to see low-income communities not receiving any of the services that they're rolling out. What are the services that the telephone companies are offering? Well, it's not just phone anymore. We're talking about cable. They're getting into providing video service. We're talking about the future of phone, which is really increasingly going to be digital phone. You know, more and more people are getting their phone over the internet. And then also broadband service. So these telephone companies essentially are getting into the cable business, which is a huge shift. You know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, a lot of these large companies that provide these services are consolidating services into these, you know, these packages. Mm-hmm. So people can, from a single company, like a telephone company like Verizon, you can now get your internet service, you can get your cable service in you know, some of the wealthier communities right now in Massachusetts, you're seeing those services, and you can get phone service over the internet. So when you talk about discrimination based on income, you know, this is not just about cable service, but it's about all these services. You know, who's going to get access to these services in the future and who's not? And is this bill going, and that's in Congress right now, going to allow the largest telephone companies to cherry pick which communities it wants to serve based on income?
Now, this bill, the COPE bill, you touched on one of the components of it. There's four major concerns that ACME, plus the BMPG, because we have been also organizing around this, the Boston Neighborhood Producers Group. We have been working with ACME and Community Change and trying to bring awareness about this issue. This is very serious. I mean, I could blow a whistle and ring bells, but I don't know if that would really signify just how serious this is. And these phone companies that are pushing for this legislation to pass are not joking. They are spending, I was reading just recently, they're spending like about $1 million a day in their lobbying efforts to get this bill passed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's an elected official in Washington. His name is Barton.
That's right.
His first name is, what's his first name, Joe?
In front of me.
Well, he's from Texas, and his name is Barton, and he is the one that's sponsoring this.
He's actually on the head of
the committee.
The committee that's really
spearheading this.
That's right.
And this same elected official.
Joe Barton, I believe.
Right.
Representative from Texas.
I was reading some literature, and he received like $98,000. And I got this information on saveaccess.org. I would like to encourage you all that are listening to have a pencil and paper down, because I'm going to be giving you some very important information that it will be important for you to take down if you will be taking action on this. Joe Barton is a Republican in Congress, and he's from Texas. And this man is sponsoring this, plus some other people, but he's the head of the committee.
He's head of the subcommittee. That's really dealing with a lot of these issues. That also, Ed Markey, congressman from mm-hmm. our congressman from Massachusetts, is also on. But I think what you're going to hear is two very, very different stories about what this bill is about. One from representative from Congressman Barton, and one from Congressman Markey. And you know, I think that all of us should support Congressman Markey and his work to really make sure that a lot of these issues that we're going to be talking about today don't become a reality. For example, Ed Markey provided an amendment in the House to ensure that telephone companies build out access to all communities, not just to the wealthiest communities. Mm-hmm. Ed Markey also offered an amendment to make sure that all internet you know, access to the internet, websites, you know, blogs, all information that's out there on the internet be provided equally and not, you know, discriminated against in terms of content. You know, don't, you know, he's fighting to make sure, you know, this is, it's hard to stress enough how important this bill is, because essentially it really could change the future of the internet as we know it. You know, I mean, essentially what's going to happen is you're going to find a privatization of the internet, where you're going to chop up the internet where it could look like cable, essentially, where you have, you know, tiers of service. You have the HBO packages, you know, that you pay more for, and you get all these kinds of services with those more expensive packages. Essentially, this is what the future of the internet's going to be looking like if we don't, you know, if people don't get involved. You know, you're going to have an internet that's, you know, has one package that's a super fast speed service, you know, where you can have video over the internet, all these kind of, you know, these enhanced services. So you have a fast lane on the internet, and then you have the dirt road for everybody else.
Right.
You know, this is very serious, very real, and this bill in Congress is really, you know, dealing with these issues right now. So that's why it's important that people get involved in this debate.
So let's make sure we're really getting a good picture of what's happening here. So if this bill passes, Telephone A can basically chop up the internet, like, and offer, you know, fast speed service to certain clients who are willing to pay for it. And an analogy that was used was like a toll booth. So let's try to make it, like, for example, if I wanted to go to a particular website, assuming this bill passes, and if that website is not on this phone company's network, they can say block, a message will come up saying no access, don't have a...
Exactly.
So, and that's not good, because that would also stifle entrepreneurship, people that want to get into doing internet-based businesses and so forth, who may not be able to pay this toll that phone companies would be charging. Now, big companies like the search engines, they can pay it, but individuals would have a problem with that.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's really important to remember when you talk about the big companies on the internet, like the Googles, the Amazons, the eBays, you know, some of these things that are becoming, you know, so much a part of our culture, a lot, you know, people are, more and more people are using these services. Well, they were able to get their start as a small business because of the way the internet has been. It's been open, it's been, you know, able for small businesses to be innovators and to come up with, you know, be the next Googles and be the next Amazons or eBays. But essentially, again, with this bill, it threatens to make that much harder for small businesses to, you know, become the next Google or Amazon or eBay. So it's important for a number of, it's really important for everybody that cares about an open and democratic internet that, you know, that allows people to, you know, visit the websites that they want, you know, to access content, to attach certain devices. You know, this is really threatens those abilities that we enjoy today.
And not only that, but if this bill passes, and you touched on it about redlining, discrimination, so for example, if this bill passes again, the phone companies can come into neighborhoods and they can cherry pick, is the word that's being used. So they say, well, you know, the people that live in this neighborhood, really their income is not, you know, well, they're not our market. We are looking for this other neighborhood that pays a lot more. So it becomes a redlining and a discriminatory process. And also, you was mentioning, and it's also mentioned also in a lot of this literature, that there's no real safeguards to protect against this discriminating that may go on. I mean, my understanding is there was some language in there, but it wasn't strong enough that would guarantee that these phone companies wouldn't discriminate against various neighborhoods.
That's right. The thing is, it's one thing to say you can't discriminate against certain communities based on income, But it's a very different, but it's another thing to say that all people will be receiving access, which mm-hmm. the bill doesn't say. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these are going to be, somehow right. enforced after the fact. Mm-hmm. So if basically, if a community is discriminated against based on income, those members, you know, the individuals or communities will have to take their issue to Washington after the fact. They're going to have to take their issue to the Federal Communications Commission, which is very different from having a build-out requirement, which Ed Markey, or Congressman Markey, has proposed, saying, you know, well, let's just, you know, one way to avoid this, you know, after the fact, after the bill gets passed, dealing with communities that get discriminated against, mm-hmm. is just to make sure that all communities, regardless of income, have access to the internet, to cable service, to phone, and, you know, really that's, so these are very different things. You know, this is like a token measure to say, you know, well, we have an anti-redlining amendment in the bill, but this is, again, this is very different than saying that all communities should be able to receive access in the future, not just the wealthiest ones.
And more importantly, to have some real provisions and mechanisms in place to guarantee that discriminating doesn't take place.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's not enough for the bill just to say, okay, we won't discriminate, but it's important that it says, this is how we'll make sure discrimination doesn't take place. That's what's needed, is
exactly.
These mechanisms.
And also, if an individual or community is discriminated against based on income, it's also not clear how those issues will be resolved. You know, they say, well, they'll go to the Federal Communications Commission. You know, it'll go to Washington to get resolved. Well, what's the process involved? You know, what's that going to look like? How long is it going to take for an individual or community, you know, to be made whole as a result of this discrimination? This is not clear in the bill, and again, some congressmen are fighting to make sure that this language is clear, you know, so that there are ways to protect against this. So, you know, this stuff is going on right now mm-hmm. in Congress, and people need to get involved. They need to call their local, they need to call their elected representatives, both in the House of Representatives and the Congress, to tell them that, hey, you know, I heard that this bill is going to allow the telephone companies to discriminate based on income. It's going to chop up the internet, make it this, you know, privatized internet service where people will have to, you know, pay for different tiers of service. You know, I want you to vote the right way, do the mm-hmm. right thing. You know, I care about these issues, and I care about, you know, access to this, these services in my community. I want to make sure that I get it, you know, that these telephone companies show up in my community. So it's more important than ever for people to get involved. One easy way to do that, you know, so it's like, you know, how do I get involved in this? You go to saveaccess.org, and all that information, everything that we're talking about right here is available on that website. People can go to saveaccess.org. You know, send your letter to your elected representative. You can download PSAs for, you know, other for this radio station, for other radio stations. You can email PSAs, audio and video PSAs, that tell you what this information is about. You know, email, you know, talk to friends, talk to coworkers, talk to family, and help spread the word and tell them, you know, we want our representatives to do the right thing on this.
And in addition to that, as far as contact information, I must say that if you go to saveaccess.org, their page has not only the a link to where you can send your emails to and who to call, the people that are in the House of Representatives, but also it has even a download copy of the bill itself. So if you're that wanted to know really more about this, you can actually download a copy of the bill. Colin, I wanted to talk a little bit about the political process in terms of how this bill is going through. Now, explain. I mean, it had to go through the House, and it has to go through the Senate, it has to go on the floor, be voted in. For those that are not familiar with the way these bills travel through the process. Can you explain where the bill started at, where it went through, and where it's at now?
Sure. Essentially, with the way that the process works in Congress is that you're going to have a House version of the bill.
House of Representatives.
That's right. And then you're going to have a Senate version of the bill. Mm-hmm. And then this bill needs to come together in agreement from both
branches
of mm-hmm. Congress for the bill to become to become a law and signed by the president. So what we've been seeing over the last few months that, you know, my organization, Acme Boston, your organization, Boston Neighborhood Producers Group, and other groups in Boston and across the country have been involved with is this COPE bill that we've been talking about. This is the House version of the bill.
The House version.
This is the House bill. And this has really given us an indication of what the future looks like with these issues in terms of how this bill, you know, when it becomes a law, what is going to mean? What's the realities of this? This is not mm-hmm. just talking about, you know, talk about this or that. This is you know, really going to affect people when this bill gets passed. So this has been the House version that we've been following. What you've seen in the last week is a Senate version now that's been introduced. And both bills are available to download and read through some of this language, you know, to see what it's looking like. So in terms of the process, we've seen the House version that's just got voted.
Right, it was already voted on.
That's right, got voted in the Commerce Committee in the House. Now you've got a Senate version of the bill that's just being introduced and will be, and you know, this is the time right now to, you know, let senators know, Senator Kerry and Kennedy. Senator Kennedy know that you care about this issue, because they're going to have hearings about it. They're going to have hearings about the Senate version of the bill. And then once that gets voted on, then soon after, and we're talking about like in the next month, you know, this is going on again, this is happening right now.
Right.
So
real time.
So I'd say, you know, what it looks like is really maybe sometime in June, you know, at the end of May, beginning of June, you're really going to see, you know, this thing coming close to a full vote.
Now, just to recap, now the House version of this bill has already been voted on. I have here in front of me, this is from the Save Access website, and this is from April 26th, and I just want to read a little bit of this.
Mm-hmm.
It says, the House Commerce Committee, which you mentioned, by an unsurprisingly vote of 42-12, passed the COPE bill. That's bad news.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so this House committee, they sat down, they reviewed it, and they said, okay, it's all set to go, and they signed off on it, as it were. Now, the bill will now move to the full House for a vote. Now, that's where we need to get in touch with Kennedy and Kerry.
Well, this is on the House side.
This is on the House side, okay.
And that's why it's important, actually, to call Congressman Ed Markey's office and tell him that we support the work that he's been doing. You know, he's like the lone voice that's, while he's you know, there are a lot of these congressmen take a lot of money, as you started to mention before, from these big telephone and cable companies. But, you know, Markey had, you know, the courage to stand up and say, you know, you know, I don't care. This bill's not right. You know, we need to fix it or stop it. And, you know, so people should call and support Markey for his courage to stand up to these telephone companies. And, you know, and then what we're talking about next is, you know, moving to the Senate. You know, and then it's going to be Senator Kerry, Senator Kennedy.
That's where they come into play.
Right. And so, you know, tell them that, you know, hey, let's you know, do the right thing here.
Well, what I want to do at this time, I want to read this here. This, again, is from the Save Access website. And it's from Friday, April 28th. And I just want to read this. I think this is more recent than the other one.
It's been updated.
This other one was from the 26th that I read before. This one's from the 28th of April. Listen to this. COPE was formally introduced May 2nd and now has a number. And it gives the House the bill number, H.R. 5252. Latest news indicates that a requested House Judiciary Committee review may delay the full House vote. That's kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
You know that they're going to delay it. Please continue to send emails and call your House representatives and say no to COPE. And then it says the Stevens Senate telecom bill draft was released May 1st, so that's recent.
That's the Senate version, yeah.
Right. Now, this is the Senate version because he's a senator.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Stevens Senate telecom bill. Read a summary. Now, there's a summary of the bill for those of you that are listening. Go to saveaccess.org. And there, and you'll see the summary is in blue. Just click on it, and you can get a summary of this bill, and you can read it for yourself. Or download the 135-page document. More on the Senate version soon.
I just want to add, too, that the saveaccess.org website is being updated, you know, almost daily with new information as it happens in Washington. So it's you can get
you want to look at it daily.
Yeah, you can get your information there.
So this is really serious. Now the thing is it's going to be going to the Senate,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to look this over and see what's going on because the House had already gave its stamp of approval. Now, the thing about this, again, that I think is important to emphasize is the very dangerous aspects of this bill. Because some people might say, well, what's wrong with the telephone companies wanting to do this? This is a capitalist society. It's about competition. It's about maximizing profit. It's about getting market share. Who wants to waste their money on a low-income neighborhood? How would you respond to that?
Well, one thing is that what you're going to find, if telephone companies don't go into all communities, the communities that don't have competition, because, you know, they'll have the cable company, but they won't have the telephone company that provides these services, their rates are going to go up. When you don't have competition, competition brings prices down.
Mm-hmm.
So, lower income communities are going to pay more for less. This is really what we're talking about. And so, and why is that? Well, they're basically going to pay to subsidize the wealthier communities that are going to have the access and the competition. Competition is good. Competition is a good thing. But let's have it in all communities, not just the wealthiest communities.
And not only that, but I think it's about, this is a word that our organization uses a lot. We're talking about empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a system in place, where Colin only gets this little bit of information, but Hiram gets all of this, Colin's going to be at a disadvantage in a lot of ways when it comes mm-hmm. to jobs,
mm-hmm.
access to information. So we're talking about discriminating that really takes on a real, a flavor in a way that is really going to affect communities in a real way.
Mm-hmm.
Educational-wise, access to information.
And jobs.
Exactly.
It's a huge way to get access to jobs and information.
Now, I wanted to say this. For those that are listening, ACME and the BNPG, we are on top of this as far as getting out the word about what's going on. We've been having meetings about this, and I want to give you some dates of some things that are happening. So if you're listening and you say, well, I want to come out and I want to hear what's going on to see what's going on. The Boston Neighborhood Producers Group, we will be having a special meeting on the 15th of this month at the Roxbury Studio at 6:00 to discuss this very important piece of legislation that will impact you all that are listening. And Colin, you will be there
mm-hmm,
to talk
right.
more about this bill and its devastating impact it can have on our communities. So that's going to be May 15th at the Roxbury Studio at 6:00. And then also, I will be speaking on this bill at the Community Change Library on May 17th, which is a Wednesday.
That's at 14 Beacon Street,
right,
across from the State House.
Room 605. So if you would like to come to the Roxbury Studio at that community meeting and find out what's going on, that's going to be May 15th, 6 o'clock at the Roxbury Studio. Or you can come to this meeting at the Community Change Building Library on May 17th, which is a Wednesday. And it starts at 12. It's from 12 to 1:30 p.m. That's how long the meeting's going to be. And this is going to be an interactive meeting where you can ask your questions and get more clarification on things that you might not be clear about. So, and that's at 14 Beacon Street. That's right next door, across the street from the State House. And it's room 605. So there are two meetings going on in response to this legislation that is pending before Congress. And please call Senator Kennedy and Kerry. You don't necessarily have to wait till they're starting to vote on it, but call them now. Don't wait till then. Because you were saying, Colin, that it's very important that people call them now. I called them, and I sent letters and stuff to these people, these representatives. But we need you to call them. You all that are listening to this program, please do not take this as something that, oh, it's just politics. This is serious. If this, and you notice something? This is not in the media.
Well, that's the other thing.
Say something about that.
Well, the thing is, you know, I think the other thing, while people are, you know, it's important to call, you know, the congressmen and the senators, you know, call, you know, write a letter, just call the local media station saying, how come you aren't covering this? You know, like, what's going on? You know, call your TV station. You know, call the local TV stations, write, you know, call the reporters, you know. There's email addresses in the bottom of, you know, in the Globe and the Herald, you know, some of the
Metro.
The reporters that are covering, you know, media issues, a few of them that are, you know, write or call them up and say, you know, hey, I learned about this bill. I see what's happening here. How come you aren't talking about this stuff? You know, this is serious business. You know, the media needs to be talking about this, you know, and it's important. And the only way they're going to do it is if enough people call or write them and you know, light a fire under them and say, you know, hey, cover this. I care about this. This is important to my community. You know, the media, you know, they need to cover it.
Exactly.
And I mean, you know, I'll just say briefly, I think that one of the reasons why they're not covering it, because it's important to remember, is that, you know, a lot of the big media companies have a lot to benefit from being quiet, from shutting up and not saying anything. How? Well, basically, a lot of these big telephone and cable companies who are providing internet service are making deals with big media companies, right? So what's happening is they're making these deals where, and you've already seen it, you know, basically what's happening is, you know, Desperate Housewives or these, you know, ABC shows on ABC, right? Or ESPN, you know, you're reading more and more about these deals that are being made between the service providers, like telephone companies.
Because they're content providers, these that make these shows.
Right, so they make these deals with these companies to provide the fast lane, you know, fast, high-speed access.
Oh.
So you know, if they divide up the internet and you have a fast lane internet and a dirt road internet, you know, these big media companies are going to be on the fast lane. So it's in their interest to shut up and not talk about
That's
it.
That's awful.
So, and it's also important to remember that a lot of these big media companies own the news. They own the networks. They own, you know, access
like
to information.
Viacom.
Exactly. You got Viacom. You got
MTV.
All these.
Viacom
owns MTV.
And yep. Westinghouse owns.
That's General Electric.
Yeah.
And, you know, for ABC and ESPN, that's Disney. Disney owns that. So, you know, you've got the problem here is you got a few massive corporations
Behemoths.
That own a majority of the media.
That's what,
and they shut out, you know, voices that a diversity of voices. You have this, you know, if it's not going to make money, if it's about local issues in the community, if it's about issues for social change, you're not going to find these issues if, you know, you have a media system that's consolidated like it is and now making these deals with these internet companies, you know, to provide this fast lane access. So, you know, you got to, but it's important for everyone that's listening to call not only representatives, but contact the local media and just say, I care about this issue. Why aren't you covering it? What are you doing? You know?
So listen to this, you all that are listening to this program. I want to call, here's some papers you might want to call. Well, it's important that you even call local community newspapers.
Exactly.
Because oftentimes they cover some of these types of stories that the bigger papers won't. Exactly. But you can call, let's say, like the Boston People's Voice.
The Boston Banner.
The Boston Banner. South Boston Online. The Dorchester Reporter.
Jamaica Plain.
Well, for example, let me give you some numbers, because it's not just enough to throw out these names. I want to give some phone numbers. Call the Dorchester Reporter, 617-436-1222. Give them a call. Say, hey, I've been listening to this program, and this is serious. So call the Dorchester Reporter.
And at saveaccess.org, you can find out, you know, talking points exactly about what to tell reporters.
Right, because some people might not be.
Exactly.
That's going through my head. That's why it's important. If you don't feel comfortable calling newspapers or reporters and talking about this because you really are just getting your feet wet, come to one of the community meetings that we're going to be having. Then you can get a little better flavor of what's happening. You don't have to be an expert on it. But you just need to know what the fine points of the issue are. And those fine points of the issue are these. I'm going to give them to you. National franchising. That's one. Redlining / discrimination. That's a second important point. Third point, loss of control over the public rights of ways. And I think we need to talk a little bit more about that.
Mm-hmm.
And also the fourth one is loss of network neutrality.
That's so the those internet are, issues.
That's
that we
the
were
internet.
About.
Because if this bill passes, the neutrality of the internet will be lost. It will no longer be Hiram or Colin with their online business or blog or whatever being able to operate in an open network, but it will be now, oh, I have to be on someone else's network specifically, Verizon or MCI or something like that.
And pay more to access those services.
Exactly. Now, those are the four points. So this is very important. Now, before we go on to that right of ways subject.
The other thing that we should touch on is, you know, how is this going to affect public access? You know,
oh, well.
How is this going to affect, you know, community media stations that rely on public access to even have any issues covered in their communities because the local corporate media won't cover some issues. So, you know, what's happening essentially is you're going to have these telephone companies essentially coming through, and as it's been, they've negotiated, the cable companies have negotiated, you know, agreements with the local community saying, okay, cool, yeah, well, in return for laying these, you know, these cables through the city streets and sidewalks in profiting off of the public. We own the city streets and sidewalks. What we want something in return. What we get is public access.
Right.
We get information about our communities that the corporate media won't cover. So what this bill also threatens is that local conversation, that negotiation, and it makes it a one-size-fits-all national franchise. It removes municipalities, cities, and towns out of the process. You know, essentially to a national franchise. You know, how does that affect public access? Well, it affects the funding for public access. You know, when you have this one-size-fits-all kind of thing that they want to do with this bill in Congress, you know, what's good for one community is not good for another community. If some communities rely on more of that funding from these companies to fund public access, you know, this bill threatens that ability for funding. So, you know, there's a real chance here that you're going to find, you know, a lot of public access stations, you know, having to close their doors over the next couple of years if this bill goes through. What it means for BNN, it's unclear. What it means for, you know, other public access stations in the area, we don't know yet, you know?
I had a question about this. Now, if this moves from a local level to a national level, I wanted to get a little bit more fine point clarification on this. Does that mean that the cable company will be now negotiating with the state or with the federal? How would that mechanism work if this bill passes?
Essentially, what's going to happen for Massachusetts, it's still yet to be seen. We don't know yet. Because there's, you know, Verizon, the telephone companies.
Right.
It's because, again, this is about the telephone companies, right? They're paying a lot of money to lobby Congress to get what they want. And what they want is to remove this ability for local, you know, franchise agreements to happen. So they want to remove local control of media, you know, and for a community to come to the table with a huge telephone company and say, this is what we want in return for you profiting off of our city streets and sidewalks. So, you know, if they remove local control, which is essentially going to happen under this national franchise, then it makes it much harder for, you know, City of Boston or, you know, other cities and towns in Massachusetts to be able to say, hey, this is what I want in return for you profiting off of our public streets, which we own. So that's a real concern, and because, you know, that's what goes to pay for public access.
Well, what I'm going to try to be looking for more specifically is this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's use a scenario. Let's suppose the bill passed. And Verizon or whoever, right now the cable provider for Boston, one of them is Comcast.
Mm-hmm.
And the bill passes. Now Verizon wants to start offering
video service.
Right.
Cable service.
What I'm trying to find out is, get more clarification on this, who are they going to be negotiating with? Right now they negotiate with the mayor's office, the cable companies, because that's who they deal with. Are they going to be dealing with the state telecommunications department? Or is that not very clear yet in the bill?
The thing that what happened traditionally, there's been local franchise authorities, right?
Right.
So each town has their own local, and that's been traditionally
right.
The group that negotiates with the telephone with the cable companies to provide cable service. Now it's gonna shift that.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna shift that to either a state organization or you know a national, you know, someplace in D.C.
where everyone they all have to go to the lock.
Right, and it sends you know, and also limits the time frame when you make these negotiations.
Right.
So essentially, it's gonna be you know it could be like a 15 or 30 day window where maybe a local community will still have a chance to negotiate, say, well, this is we want to make sure that you know our communities are represented in the best way. We get return adequate funding for public access. They, you know, that's like in the past, it's been it takes a long time to negotiate because it's a process. You know, communities fight for what they want in return, again, for these companies profiting off their public city streets and sidewalks. Now they want to make it like a 15, 30-day window, which in some cases could be impossible to negotiate these kinds of agreements. So when you remove local control, this bill wants to remove local control over this, shift it to a state and, you know, a national deal where, you know, are communities going to be represented in the best way under this bill? So
my thought is this, hearing what you are saying is this, some things are more, not so much by coincidence as by design. Because if currently it takes a year or more to negotiate a franchise agreement, it would be advantageous for the cable company or the phone company in this case to say, oh, 30 days over, we haven't come to an agreement. They can purposely drag it out so that they can default to going to the state or the federal level.
Exactly, and then they're stuck, and then that community is stuck in an agreement for the next 10 years under this bill. So if they don't have adequate funding for public access in those 10 years, that could shut the doors on public access stations.
And it will. If this bill passes, I will be so bold as to say there will be public access stations around this country that will go under. Can you imagine a small public access station in the middle of one of these states like Utah that's really rural and, you know, not getting that funding? Now, some access centers that are bigger in bigger metropolitan areas may fare better in that they will probably survive in some way.
Well, they may have less funding.
Oh, you know,
they're gonna have to find other ways. It's
gonna
be harder. So, like BNN and other, you know, public access stations, if they don't have that, you know, return, you know, they might
start charging producers.
It's true,
I want people to understand this. If this bill passes, that money has to come from someone. And if this bill passes, and let's suppose BNN, for example, is affected, they have to make up the money.
They have to find that money somewhere, right?
Right now, I use public access. I pay a membership fee every year. But who's to say that access centers will not, they may, by whatever, start having to charge producers to use the studio. And I think that would be even more detrimental because they won't be able to pay. So I think this is much more serious than some may think, because if that happens, a lot of producers will have no, because they're not financially able to pay $100 or $200 a year to whatever, you know.
So if you care about local, you know, if you care about issues in your community being covered in the local media, if it's through public access, yes, if it's through, you know, sometimes you can find websites that will, you know, give you information that you can't find in the mainstream media, in the corporate media,
right,
you know, then you got to get involved in this bill.
You
got to get involved in this issue, and you got to, you know, you got to call, again, call Senator Kerry, call Senator Kennedy.
Yes.
And let them know that you, you know, you care about this.
Yes, let them know that you care. And I wanted to say something else because we still have a little bit of time. You're talking about a conflict of interest. I got this paper off of SaveAccess.org's website. This is no secret, this information. A lot of these elected officials are getting big money. Well, let's just say they're getting some money. Big is a relative term. They're getting money for, it shows on this website, the 2006 monies that was received by elected officials who are going to be deciding on this legislation.
That's right.
And I will tell you right here, looking at this form, that Mr. Joe Barton, who's the chair of this committee, he got $98,200. Now, I see a conflict of interest there. And not only him, but on this list, I really go to that website, and you'll see a lot of these people are basically being paid to sell out democracy. And, you know, like I said, America for sale. Just, you know, the highest bidder wins. And these elected officials, which is really sad, I can only imagine that they, how can I put it? They probably do not really realize the full impact of what they're voting for. Because this bill, if you go on the website, it's 100-something pages long. Now, granted, these elected officials are busy. They have other bills they're looking at. You know, you can't expect them. Probably one of their aides read it for them.
Right.
And just told them the fine points. And plus, they also have this money that was given to them by these telecommunications companies. So it's payback time. And so it's like they're making a vote in a vacuum in a large sense. They're not even as educated about this as we are who are talking about this. Why? Because, well, one reason is because they have all these other concerns, and the other reason is because they got that money coming in. So we need you to help us. Please join with ACME. Give your website.
It's ACME Boston, and it's at acmeboston.org, and you can also saveaccess.org. And you can find out all the information about everything we've been talking about and how to get involved right now at both of these websites.
And also, please call the Boston Neighborhood Producers Group. Go on our website. We have information on our website about this dangerous bill. It's www.bnpg.org. Click on public access, the button, and it will bring you to the page that will have information about this bill and also a copy of the bill that you can download and also numbers of the elected officials you can call. And again, we have a meeting coming up next. It's going to be on the 15th, May 15th, 6 o'clock at the Roxbury Studio. And then again, I will be at the Community Change Building on the 17th, and that is located at 14 Beacon Street, right across the street from the State House, room 605. So please, there's no reason not to be aware and to be informed, because we're giving out this information. And if you would like to call the Boston Neighborhood Producers Group, you can call 617-859-8507. So until next time, this is Hiram Scott, your host. Thank you for calling, for coming on.
Thanks, Hiram.
We appreciate the information you shared with our audience, and we will be talking with you next month, and we'll give you an update with what's going on.